How does the law of God's allness rebuke even a claim or a belief of another law? It is because unfathomable, infinite, eternal, divine mind is the only mind. And there is no other mind, no mortal mind, to entertain even a claim or a belief of something opposed to God. There is just God, divine mind. How wonderful it is that no matter what the error, we understand it to be completely non-existent, utterly impossible, because of the ever-presence of the allness of God. So, when we say, I'm not concerned about anything, we actually mean that because of the allness of God, there is absolutely nothing to be concerned about. It was because of the allness of God that it is impossible for a woman to have an incurable disease, impossible for a man to be in a danger zone, impossible for there to be problems in a schoolroom, impossible for a husband and wife not to love each other, impossible for a business career to be ruined, and impossible for a little girl to take her life. A young lady who was working in an office alone suddenly found herself in the throes of severe pain and realized that she had lost her power of speech and that she was losing consciousness. All she could think of was God, and she repeated the word mentally as she lost consciousness. Sometime later, as she started to regain consciousness, she was again aware only of God. Finally, she could say the word, but nothing else came, so she repeated the word God until she could say, God is. She found her speech and thought becoming clearer and repeated, God is, until she could say, God is all. She was so grateful and so joyous in being able to realize, acknowledge, and voice the allness of God that shortly she found herself manifesting only perfection. Her healing was complete and permanent. Oh, isn't it wonderful that just because of the allness of God, we don't have to be concerned about anything? By the way, what are you concerned about? Your health? Your family? Your church? Your supply? The state of the nation? World affairs? I am asking all of you to repeat with me. I am not concerned about anything. Because God is all, there is nothing to be concerned about. God expressing himself. The second basic metaphysical law underlying our positive, joyous statement is that God is expressing himself. It is thrilling to realize that God, who is all in all, is a divinely active God. Just contemplating God as life, we can see so readily that there is never any interruption to divinely active being. Contemplating God as mind, we see that there could never be such a thing as a divine mind which is not thinking, knowing, understanding, comprehending, and expressing. Contemplating God as love, why is it impossible to think of God as love and not realize that he is ever actively loving his perfect creation. Just listen to the activity of God as expressed by just one psalm. Quote, "He covereth himself with light and stretcheth out the heavens. He layeth the beams of his chambers and maketh the clouds his chariot. He walketh upon the wings of the wind. He laid the foundations of the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. He giveth drink to every beast. He watereth the hills. He causeth the grass to grow. He planted. He appointed the moon. He openeth his hand. He looketh upon the earth. He toucheth the hills." Close quote. No wonder David exclaimed, quote, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." Close quote. And so, it is because we have a divinely active God that wonderful things are happening. It is because our perfect, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God is expressing all his qualities in perfect balance that wonderful things are taking place. Now, this one and only divinely active God does all the doing in the universe. Not only does he do all the creating, but all the knowing, all the understanding, all the expressing. He does all the regulating, all the governing, all the controlling. He does all the relating, the associating, the environing. The definition of mind in the glossary reads, quote, "Deity, which outlines, but is not outlined." Close quote. God doing all the planning, all the outlining, is a very important basic truth which we must accept in our expectation of wonderful things happening. I doubt if there is any one statement I have made more often than this one. God's plan for man is in operation, and there is no other power or presence that can interfere with it. I wish to discuss this statement with you this morning in relation to wonderful things are taking place. There isn't a one of us who at some time during a year doesn't need to let that glorious truth operate in his experience to find the right job, select the right apartment, buy the right car, choose the right university, join the right church, accept the right church assignments, take the right vacation, marry the right person. In making any one of these decisions, we must rejoice consistently that God's plan for us is in operation. To be absolutely sure that it is God who is doing the outlining, and not me, myself, there are four basic truths I love to contemplate, comprehend, and rejoice in. These truths were unfolded to me at a time when I thought I had a problem that was beyond solution. I couldn't see how even God could have an answer. It was at that time that I took a little boy and his mother sailing. It was the three-year-old child's first experience in a sailboat. He was impressed by the expanse of water, and he was besieging his mother with questions. Is the water over my head? Is it over my brother's head? Over your head? It was getting deeper all the time. Is it over Daddy's head? Yes, it is over Daddy's head, the mother replied. The little fellow thought for a moment, and then, with a look of absolute confidence, he announced, But it isn't over God's head. That night, when I had an opportunity to be alone, I went out of doors, sat under the stars, and prayed. I knew that what the little boy had said was a message from God for me, that my problem wasn't over God's head. I turned wholeheartedly to my Heavenly Father. I let Divine Mind talk, and I listened. It was then that these four precious but powerful points were revealed to me. First, quote, soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind. Close quote. Don't ever start working on a problem with a limited sense of things, such as jobs are few and far between, there are just no eligible men my age who are Christian scientists, or there was only one school for me, but I don't know which one. Begin with the infinitude of God's goodness. Remember that His resources are infinite. The possibilities for income are beyond measure. The possibilities of employment are infinite. The possibilities for the right place to live are infinite. Opportunities to serve are infinite. Because all the resources are of soul, God, they are infinite, boundless, unlimited, immeasurable, ever-present, and ever-available. Now, these wonderful resources of God do not lie idle. He uses His infinite resources to bless you. No matter what your need might be, it is tremendously thrilling to start out with the realization of the infinite possibilities whereby our Heavenly Father might bless you. Of course, because the resources are God's, they must all be, necessarily, beautiful, harmonious, wonderful, good, and perfect in every respect. Rejoice that you are rich. You have inherited the kingdom. In Luke we read, quote, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Second, Divine Mind, the all-knowing intelligence, knows which resources best meet the needs of every individual. Jesus tells us, quote, Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Close quote. Isn't it wonderful that we can trust God and know that His planning is far beyond anything that we could humanly plan? God, Divine Mind, employs His resources for man in perfect wisdom, and therefore, for one who understands this, no avenue is blocked, no right desire unsatisfied, no need unprovided. It is at this point of the demonstration where we must stand steadfast in refusing to outline. We must rely completely upon the decision of our Heavenly Father as to what is best for us. We must not even be guilty of saying, quote, Heavenly Father, thy will be done, but I just kind of hope it will work out this way. Close quote. No, we must pray without any reservation. Not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes, in order to be absolutely certain that I am letting God do all the planning, I will pray this way. God, I don't care whether I dig gold in Alaska, or lasso cattle in Argentina, scrub floors in a benevolent association, or take in washing in Timbuktu. All I ask, Father, is that your plan for me be in operation. And then I rejoice that it is God's plan, and God's plan only, that is in operation, and absolutely nothing can interfere with it. Oh, with what complete assurance, freedom, and confidence can we face the future knowing that God is caring for us in every experience.